As I said, 2 years ago, we kind of walk in sideways on signing day, hoping that we get something. Now we're doing nothing but waiting for good, you know, more good news and more good news. So it's kind of fun.
Well, I hope so. By the way, speaking of Royce, as you're probably aware, the chamber's going to be coming up to D.C. in May, early May. And what we do is we've gotten one room put together in the Capitol for all the attendees to join us in. And then we have the members of Congress come to them. And one of the members that I got to accept to come speak to at the chamber yesterday is Paul Ryan.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so anyway, I think that I think our chamber gang from BCS will have a great time listening to him.
Outstanding to do that. And I know Burl, who's over at the chamber now, it's kind of like old home week for him to go back up there because he knows a lot of the individuals. So yeah, that sounds like it'll be a dynamic visit for them coming
it
up.
It will be, and you heard it here first.
There you go.
WTAW.
Got it. I appreciate you breaking that for us. Paul Ryan will be speaking to our delegation up there. Okay, let's talk for a minute because the president, again, did not send Congress a budget on time. This is the fourth time in about 5 years. And I know that immediately begins some finger pointing. But really, I'd kind of like for you to comment on the fact that no matter who's in charge, whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats, it just seems like these bodies can't get a budget put out very often.
Well, we need to be careful about how we say that because the last 2 years the House has. But you're exactly right, Scott. Neither the Senate, let's put it this way. The Senate hadn't produced a budget in 4 years.
Right.
The president has at least produced a budget each of the last 5 years, but for those 5 years it's been late. This year, I think that he's going to be more coy. I believe that he's going to wait for the House to put its budget out first, and then he can respond to it with a budget that's different and say, oh, look how the House budget just devastates America. When really what we're trying to do is avoid the devastation that comes from his spending habits.
Is the House trying to send a message to the Senate saying, you know, for the last couple of years we've been having to make some tough votes, and we're not seeing the Senate have to, whether it happens to be this case, whether it's a budget or something else? Has a message been sent to the upper chamber that you guys and gals are really not having to be held accountable by votes?
Well, I think we did that, yes. Now, what we did was not intended primarily to send a message to the Senate. It was to get them to do their job. Under the Budget Act of 1974, the law is very clear. Each body of Congress and the president will produce a budget. And so all we're asking them to do is do their job. Now, it has sent a message, and the American people responded, you know, in our polling, about 90% in favor of no budget, no pay, which became law last week.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about sequestration. The clock is ticking yet again. The House had passed a sequestration replacement measure, but that expired when the new Congress came in. Is the feeling that the House doesn't really have any plans to put forth a vote this month on a bill to replace those automatic spending cuts?
No, we've already done it, and so the thinking is we've got other issues to deal with. We've got a budget that we need to put together, and we've started working on that this week with Paul Ryan and the Budget Committee. We've got to start working on a continuing resolution because the government's not funded beyond March 27th. So those are the things we need to be working on. It's like, why bother to do a sequestration replacement bill or adjustment bill if the Senate isn't going to do anything anyway? So if the president wants to do something on sequestration, he needs to put his proposal out there, or if the Senate wants to do it, they need to pass it and then come talk to us, and we'll be happy to sit down with them.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. Don't know to what extent you'd like to talk with about it, but I want to give you an opportunity to at least comment on the white paper that NBC found that has to do with the killing of American citizens that might be associated with al-Qaeda and the whole drone question and the president's ability to be able to dispatch drones to kill Americans overseas.
Well, you know, just an editorial comment here for a minute. It's remarkable how quiet that NBC, ABC, and CBS have been on this issue. If this had come out of a Bush administration, the chatter among the talking heads would have been pretty intense by now. It's really remarkable how the president can say that enhanced interrogation is patently wrong, but it's okay for a few nameless bureaucrats to decide that they want to go kill somebody with a drone, including U.S. citizens. I find that highly disturbing. And, you know, I just don't know what makes this group think up here in the White House.
It doesn't sound like America to me.
It doesn't. I mean, I do believe we've got a Bill of Rights that would prevent something like this. And So I'm pretty disturbed about it. I'm sure that we'll be having hearings and trying to get the bottom to figure out who wrote it and what their constitutional construct is for coming up with this. Which, you know, I don't think there is a way you can get comfortable with this under our Constitution.
Now, some of the other things. A week ago, we were talking about immigration because that was the bullseye question last week. Where are we with immigration? Has there been some kind of a movement on that since you and I spoke last week?
Yes, sir. I'm part of a group of members of the House that's working on immigration solutions. And based on our discussions so far, we have come to a preliminary conclusion that it's not a good idea to come up with a comprehensive immigration bill, because if you do that, you're going to get so many people mad about little parts of it that you don't get anything. And so we believe it's better to break this up into bite-sized pieces. And when I talk about bite-sized pieces, let's talk about border security, what we need to do to address that. We've got a naturalization system that's very cumbersome and slow. We need to deal with that to make that more efficient, to make it more streamlined. We need to look at the Dreamers that are here, the children of illegal immigrants that were brought here. We need to look at illegals. We need to look at our visa system. We need to look at our visas for higher education as well. So, you know, I think if we break it down into five or six bite-sized pieces, you're going to have people that don't like each piece, but hopefully you'll have a bipartisan majority in the House that would agree to each of them. And ultimately what you wind up with is a fixed immigration system. We need that for our economy, and we need it to deal with the crime and security issues that we have.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. One of the things that's kind of interesting is the fact that apparently Christian conservatives have decided to get into this immigration reform question. They'd stood on the sidelines back when this was talked about. Have you felt any contact from Christian conservative groups and their stand as far as immigration is concerned?
Not from the what you'd call a Christian conservative group. I've had some from what I'd call liberal conservative groups that say that we ought to...
No, wait, just, you said liberal conservative groups.
Oh, excuse me, liberal Christian groups.
Okay, my
bad.
That's all right.
Who think that we ought to just go straight to amnesty for all illegals, and I've got some heartburn with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I haven't heard anything from conservative Christian groups at this point.
Well, I guess that may be a chat for another day, that's for sure. All right, anything else that we need to necessarily talk about before we chat again next week?
I guess as we're visiting each week, we ought to talk about the budget, because we're right in the middle of that process. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, you and I have talked in the past, we're going to put together a budget this year that shows a path to balance in 10 years. I'm pretty excited about it.